Welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Midday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We're so happy that you have taken an hour out of your day to participate in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer nearby, the website address of Interactive Church is csinteractivechurch.org. There you will find a turquoise box containing a link to the Order of Service webpage, where links to the text of hymns and other information is provided. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone. Muting your phone helps to eliminate background noises, enabling everyone to better hear the service. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. The readings portion of this meeting is recorded so that people around the world may have a chance to listen to the readings at their convenience. Let's begin our service with hymn number 173. A link to the words of this hymn is provided on the Order of Service webpage. I shall read all of the verses. Love is kind and suffers long. Love is meek and thinks no wrong. Love than death itself more strong. Therefore give us love. Prophecy will fade away, melting in the light of day. Love will ever with us stay. Therefore give us love. Faith will vanish into sight. Hope shall be fulfilled in light. Love will ever shine more bright, therefore give us love. Faith and hope and love we see, joining hand in hand agree. But the greatest of the three, and the best, is love. Welcome to Interactive Church. The topic of the readings for this meeting is In Love. The hymns are 173, 21, and 179. I shall be reading selected passages from the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The New King James, 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The King James Version, 2 Peter. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. John. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Genesis. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And let it come to pass, that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well, and he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. And the man came into the house, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her, and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. 1 Corinthians, He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The Good News Translation, Song of Solomon, the second song, The Woman. Hear my lover's voice. He comes running over the mountains, racing across the hills to me. My lover is like a gazelle, like a young stag. There he stands beside the wall. He looks in through the window and glances through the lattice. My lover speaks to me. The man. Come then, my love, my darling, come with me. The winter is over. The rains have stopped. In the countryside, the flowers are in bloom. This is the time for singing. The song of doves is heard in the fields. Figs are beginning to ripen. The air is fragrant with blossoming vines. Come then, my love, my darling, come with me. You are like a dove that hides in the crevice of a rock. Let me see your lovely face and hear your enchanting voice. Catch the foxes, the little foxes, before they ruin our vineyard in bloom. The woman. My lover is mine and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies until the morning breezes blow and the darkness disappears. Return, my darling, like a gazelle, like a stag on the mountains of Bethel. The King James Version, Ephesians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. And from Science and Health. It is love which paints the petal with myriad hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches the cloud with a bow of beauty, blazons the night with starry gems, and covers earth with loveliness. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Love one another, 1 John 3:23, is the most simple and profound counsel of the inspired writer. To love one's neighbor as oneself is a divine idea. Christian Science despoils the kingdom of evil and preeminently promotes affection and virtue in families and therefore in the community. The Anatomy of Christian Science teaches when and how to probe the self-inflicted wounds of selfishness, malice, envy, and hate. It teaches the control of mad ambition. It unfolds the hallowed influences of unselfishness, philanthropy, spiritual love, self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Practice, not profession, understanding, not belief, gain the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Beauty, wealth, or fame is incompetent to meet the demands of the affections and should never weigh against the better claims of intellect, goodness, and virtue. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish. Therefore, it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Human affection is not poured forth vainly, even though it meet no return. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. The poor suffering heart needs its rightful nutriment, such as peace, patience in tribulation, and a priceless sense of the dear Father's loving kindness. The physician, who lacks sympathy for his fellow being, is deficient in human affection, and we have the apostolic warrant for asking, "He that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" Not having the spiritual affection, the physician lacks faith in the divine mind and has not that recognition of infinite love, which alone confers the healing power. The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. The attainment of this celestial condition would improve our progeny, diminish crime, and give higher aims to ambition. "She that is married careth how she may please her husband," says the Bible, and this is the pleasantest thing to do. Matrimony should never be entered into without a full recognition of its enduring obligations on both sides. There should be the most tender solicitude for each other's happiness, and mutual attention and approbation should wait on all the years of married life. Kindred tastes, motives, and aspirations are necessary to the formation of a happy and permanent companionship. The beautiful in character is also the good, welding indissolubly the links of affection. Mutual compromises will often maintain a compact which might otherwise become unbearable. Man should not be required to participate in all the annoyances and cares of domestic economy, nor should woman be expected to understand political economy. Fulfilling the different demands of their united spheres, their sympathies should blend in sweet confidence and cheer, each partner sustaining the other, thus hallowing the union of interests and affections, in which the heart finds peace and home. Tender words and unselfish care in what promotes the welfare and happiness of your wife will prove more salutary in prolonging her health and smiles than stolid indifference or jealousy. Husbands, hear this and buyeth it, and remember how slight a word or deed may renew the old trysting times. From the logic of events, we learn that selfishness and impurity alone are fleeting, and that wisdom will ultimately put asunder what she hath not joined together. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping, if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. Both sexes should be loving, pure, tender, and strong. The attraction between native qualities will be perpetual only as it is pure and true, bringing sweet seasons of renewal like the returning spring. Love is reflected in love. This concludes the readings.